Amen. Special, isn't it? Always, babies are always so special, you know. All right, I'm going to talk to you this morning about hopefully something rather simple, I would like to say, but I've titled it A Certain Place. We're going to talk about a certain place. Are you ready to go to a certain place? Which place? I wonder what place we're going to this morning. But I believe that there is a certain place that God wants to take us to. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. So before I begin, I want to say this. I want to just verbalize a few things. This certain place can be a physical place, but it's more than just a physical place. All right? So just giving you a bit of a heads up here this morning as we talk about going to this certain place or God taking us to a certain place. It can be a physical place, but it is more than just a physical place. So I'm going to open up with Genesis chapter 28. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 28, and I'm going to read from there. And as you're turning there and as we're getting the things ready, the context of this is, as you know, Jacob acted shrewdly and began and pretended that he was his brother Esau and his father Isaac blessed him, and he received the firstborn blessing. And so Esau is mad. The twin brother is mad because he had done that. And because he's mad, he said, when the days of mourning are over, Jacob, I'm going to run after your life. Are you following the story here so far? So you have here this going on in the background here. But here we pick up from Genesis chapter 28. And it says this. So after this whole story happened, it says in verse 1, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padam Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply, and that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. All right, here. Let me ask you a quick question here, and I hope you help me here a little bit here. Is where was Jacob going? Where was he going? Say it out loud, please. Padan Aram. To see who? To see Laban. Who is Laban? Laban is his uncle. It's his mother's brother. And our next question is, why was he going there? He's running away. We can say two things here. If you can put it up next here. There are two things. Firstly, going to find himself a wife. Number two, he's also running away from his brother, right? His life is in danger. So it's also a way of escape. It's a way of running away, isn't it? Even though he's going out there. So I want you to keep these two pictures in mind. First, on the positive side, he's going to find himself a wife. Number two, he's running away from his brother as well because his brother is mad and he's going to come after his own life. All right? Can you keep that in mind throughout the message? All right? Because as you're going to see, he's going to where? Padan Aram. And he's going to find a wife. He's going to his uncle. He's going to find to his family. So he's going to a place, isn't he? Is he going to a place? Are you following me? He's going to a place. But God's going to lead him to another place. In verse 10 now, we read on. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and is the gate of heaven. Verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. What does Bethel mean? Bethel means house of God, all right? Bethel. But the name of that city had been called Luz previously. Where's Zion? That's not Lud, it's Luz, okay? Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So I want to kind of draw your attention here, okay? We started out saying Jacob was going somewhere. He was going to a place. He had plans. He had already worked out where he was going. He was going to Padan Aram to find a wife. He's going to his relative. He's going to his uncle. He's going to his family. Okay, but here's what I want to bring you to here. God led him, then he came to a certain place. That certain place, as I started, I said, that certain place is more than just a physical place. I'm talking about a place. I'm going to share with you what that might look like in just a moment. But here I'm going to get the idea here first. In John 4, verse 21 to 24, when Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and she said to Jesus, some people say we should worship on this mountain, and some people say we should worship on the mountain in Jerusalem. And what did Jesus reply? What did Jesus reply in chapter 4, verse 21 to 24? It says, then Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So the first clue here is that this certain place is a place in the spirit. It's a place. But what I mean by that is that God will bring in your personal life and in my personal life, God will bring us to certain places. And it's those moments where we think we're going somewhere. We think we're going to Padan Aram. We think we're going to find a wife. We think we're going to find something. We've got something set up. We're going towards what we think we've got worked out. But God's idea behind the place that we might be heading, He has something else is mine. He wants to bring us to a certain place. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say so far, but hopefully you'll get clearer as we go through this. But if think with me for a moment, look at your own life. God has taken you personally. You've had personal moments with the Lord where God had to take you to a certain place. A certain place, I'm not talking about a physical place here. But there were moments in your life where God needed to take you to a certain place to work on you and to work on me. Can you say amen? So here we go. I want to share this with you. Here, Jacob came to a certain place. What was that place? Number one, is a place of revelation. It's a place where we begin to see. Okay, it's a place where we begin to see. Now, look at Jacob. He was simply going. Now, look at Jacob. Look at the positive side here. He's going there to find a wife. Do you agree with me? He's going there to find a wife. Now, was he obeying his father's commands? Yes, he was, right? His father said to him, go there and find yourself a wife. This is the right thing to do. So he's doing the right thing. He's following his father's instructions. He's going there to find a wife. How many of you here finding it? Well, you've already found. You just need to seal the deal. Okay. But what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, Jacob was the kind of person who you will see in a moment as I talk about Jacob, a lot of things he had plans for. How many of you, have you ever come to a place where you think in your life you've got everything worked out, you're serving God and you think you're doing the right thing, you've planned for your future, you've planned for your career, you've planned for your, maybe you've planned for your children, you plan everything, you've got everything worked out, you've got everything completely arranged. And you're like, yes, I know what I want. This is where I'm going from. This is my career. I'm going to have this, this, and this, and this, and that. But you see, in the going where we're looking for something, God is thinking of something else. He's going to bring us to the certain place. Jacob was not looking for the certain place, was he? He wasn't looking for that certain place, but he came to the certain place. Jacob was going to his destination, but God brought him to a certain place. I want to say this morning that, you know, while we may think that we have everything worked out, God will make sure He takes us to that certain place because He's going to deal with us. He's going to work on us. In fact, He's going to give us, He's going to reassure us, but He's going to, because you're going to see in a moment that this was the beginning of God's dealings in His life. God's dealing in His life. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes because sometimes we think we know where we're going. There are many times where I thought, I think I've got everything worked out. I'm telling you from my personal perspective. I thought I was doing pretty well. I thought I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I've got everything worked out, but it's not quite getting me where I want to. Does God want me to do these things? Yes, but there's something missing. And there was a good thing about Jacob is he hungered for spiritual things, but he wasn't quite there yet. There's a lot of rough edges that God had to deal with. But our eyes must be open. What happened in that moment, in that certain place? He didn't realize it was the house of God. So what happened? He says, surely the Lord is in this place, but I didn't know it. And he saw this dream and had the revelation. You know, I want to take you to Isaiah. Isaiah in the Bible. It says when Uzziah, his cousin, or many scholars say it's the cousin, the king there, Uzziah, when he died, what happened to Isaiah? He says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up upon the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah saw the Lord, but there's something else I want to add into it. What did he see when he saw the Lord? What did he say? He said, woe unto me, for I have seen the Lord. What did he say? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Okay, he had a revelation of God, but then he also realized his own state. But God didn't leave him like that. God cleansed his lips and he says, I'm going to use you to speak. But what I'm trying to say here is that until we come to that place, sometimes we don't see a lot of things. Sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, but we're not. Just like for my personal story, I thought I was doing pretty well. I thought I was a good religious boy. I was going to church, I was playing guitar, I was part of the music ministry, I was going to church every Sunday. But it was the moment that, you know, God had to take me to that certain place. Where was that certain place? Physically speaking, it was in a bus. But am I talking about the bus? Bus 101. What is bus 101? But it wasn't that just that bus, but God did use that bus. Bless that bus, if it's still around. But on that bus, God brought me to a certain place. And in that place, I realized how sinful I was and how holy God was. Does that make sense? So there are these certain places. So here we have God coming to Jacob, bringing him to a certain place and to give him revelation. Now, Jacob is a picture of struggling in the flesh. How many of us here can identify with this problem? We struggle with God in the flesh. Not you, everyone else, but not you, okay? Just everyone else, this is not you. No, okay. Just me then, not you. I feel that way, you know. When I look back in the past, you know, you don't quite think you're struggling in the flesh, but when you look back, you were like, wow, that's a lot of struggling in the flesh. Jacob is a picture of a struggling in the flesh. His name, Jacob, means supplanter. He was a deceiver. He did things by deceiving people and things like that. It's not that God didn't want him to get the things that he was looking for, but just the way he went about it wasn't quite right, was it? But you see, when God began to take him to that certain place, this was the beginning. And I just say this, it was only the beginning of God's dealings in his life. What does God need to do when he brings us to a certain place? He wants us to know that we can do absolutely nothing without him. We need to come to a place of the revelation where the flesh cannot please God. Because you see, Jacob had to become Israel. But it's not further, as you read further in the other chapters, in chapters 32. So we need that revelation. We need the revelation. We need to see. So I want to pray this morning, that God will help us to see. Just because we think we've got it worked out doesn't mean we actually have it worked out. Can you understand what I'm saying here? God has to take us to that certain place. And that certain place will change our perspective. And it has to. And God does that because he loves us. So this place God wants to, because if we don't see, we want to keep doing the wrong thing, right? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, he says, where there's no vision, the people perish. So if I don't have the vision, if I can't see, if God doesn't take me to that place of revelation, I'm going to keep doing what I suppose is the right thing to do, but it may not always be the right thing. I can be struggling in myself. I could be struggling in my own self-image. And I think that's okay. And I think it's normal. And I just think it's part of life. But that's not what God wants for me. So I want to pray this morning, that Lord, Holy Spirit, you are the one who enlighten our eyes. You are the one who open the eyes of our hearts to see our current state where we need help. To come to a place where without you, we know we can do absolutely nothing. Lord, we can be running around, going to places, doing things for you, being busy with all kinds of things and doing the things that are noble, doing the great works and doing Christian things, doing spiritual things, that seems to be very morally, a moral thing to do. And God, but we're just going right about doing it ourselves. We think we are self-sufficient at times. And God, I pray that you would forgive us if we've ever come to that place, and that you would help us see that just as Jacob was just running around, just going places, doing even what is the right thing to do, but you needed to let him know that you would be with him. You're giving him the promise. You have great plans for him. Lord, let us know. Let us see that place, so that we will never come to a place where we will run around without your grace, without your strength. So Holy Spirit, come and move upon this place. We want an encounter, a fresh encounter this morning. Help us see what we cannot see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before I move to the second point, I want to reiterate this. Jacob is about his self-strength. Oh, I'm doing well. I'm strong. I can do this. I don't have any problems. I'm doing well. All right? As long as we're in the flesh, we will keep struggling. But let the Holy Spirit today take us to that certain place. Number two, it's a place of encounter. It's a place of encounter. It's a place of revelation. It's a place of encounter. You know, we need to come to that place, because if we don't come to that place, Or when you do come to that place, something you will realize. I can say this because I can see this for myself personally. And I'll personalize it instead of saying we. I don't realize how far I've strayed until I've come to the certain place. Let me say that again. I don't realize, or I did not realize, how far I have strayed until I come, or I came to the certain place, to this certain place. You know, in the moment, we always think we're right. Again, just me, not you. Do you identify with what I'm saying? In the moment, if you're going through something that's very heated or something that's very hot, in the very moment thing, we always think we're right. We're never wrong. We have the answers to everything. But when I do come to that certain place, by God's grace, when He leads me, when I was just going around doing my own thing, but He brings me to that certain place, you realize, oh, well, have mercy on me, Lord. Another point I'd like to say is don't get disappointed when things don't go our way, because it's the mighty hand of God who's bringing us to that certain place. Why does God need to bring us in that certain place? Because if God doesn't bring us to the certain place, we're going around and making a mess, hurting ourselves, getting ourselves in a deeper pit. But God, by His mercy, is leading us to that certain place. So when things happen around our lives, you don't blame people for it. Don't blame others for it. But appreciate and recognize the hand of God who's actually leading all things. Because God wants to make sure we come to that certain place. God, it's the mercy of God that He brings us to that certain place. And sometimes He allows those circumstances to work around our lives until we come to that certain place, so that when we do come to that certain place, we're like, here I am, God, I'm undone. So if you're going through certain things in your life, you're not happy about something, you're disappointed about something, or you're angry about something, or you just feel like you're just something's not quite there, frustrated about something, or whatever it is, know that through this, God is leading you to this certain place. Let me say this, I mean, I'll share with you my personal testimony a little bit on this. And by the way, just because I share this, I believe God continues to lead me. We have to come to that certain place. But, you know, there was a particular point in my life when I was going through some difficulties. Everybody's difficulties are different, right? What might be difficult for me may not be difficult for you, and what's difficult for you may not be difficult for me. But I was going through some difficult things myself. And a door opened for me to go to Malaysia for 3 months. And I thought, well, sure, why not? Went there for 3 months. And I thought, well, isn't that noble? I'm going to take 3 months unpaid leave. Doesn't that sound so spiritual, does it? Going to take 3 months of unpaid leave. And, you know, people at work are like, wow, you're going to take 3 unpaid leave just to go to Malaysia for church-related things? It's okay, yeah. Well, okay, I paid 3 months unpaid leave. Felt like, what a missionary. What, so noble, isn't it? So spiritual, so hungry for the things of God. I thought I'd be going there to serve, to do the will of God, to do all of this. That's what I'm thinking. And at the same time, it's a good way to run away from things, isn't it? Maybe I didn't think of it that way, but, you know, you run away from things. So I feel like, very much, I feel like Jacob. I wasn't going to look for a wife, but I was. I feel like I was a Jacob because I felt like, okay, well, I'm obeying what God has opened for me. So I'm going to go and minister there and be part of the church in Malaysia. And at the same time, I'm running away from my Esau. All right? I had my Esau that I was running away from. Maybe I didn't want to say it then as well, but when I think back, that's why I say when God brings you to a certain place, you realize, oh, I was running away, wasn't I? Oh, yeah, maybe I was. Okay, but here's the point. This is why I was going there for. I was going to Padan Aram. I was going to that place. But in my trip when I went there, God did bring me to a certain place. Because that trip was very significant for me because even though I didn't make the decision in that trip per se to go full time and all that kind of stuff, it happens a few months after my trip, after I came back. But in that particular trip, the Lord began to work in my heart in many, many ways. And I felt like, wow, I begin to see the need. I begin to see, you know, what pastoral work can look like and how, you know, how it moves your heart. And so that had a really deep impact on me. But of course, like Jacob, who was struggling about so many things, so was I. I had to struggle about, well, is it the right time for me to, you know, to sort of close my IT career? Is that the right thing? Or what about, you know, getting a house and doing all these things and getting everything set up? So like everybody else, I'm trying to set my life up for success, making sure I've done everything right. So I was struggling with that, just like Jacob, just like many of us here. But a few months, you know, I came back after my trip, 3 months, and I came back to Australia, and there was a space of 3 months, and God began to bring me again to that certain place. And there was the moment when I had that certain place moment where I said, I went to pass, and I said, I'm ready to go full-time. Okay? And so what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, we think we are going somewhere. We think we're doing the right thing, or maybe we're running from something. But the hand of God is in it through all of it. So rather than blaming the Esau thing that I was running away from, rather than blaming everything else or someone thinks or this and that and that, it was the hand of God to bring me to that place. When I thought I was running away, when I thought I was looking for something better, when I was thinking of doing something greater, God was leading me to a certain place, and I wouldn't be in this place if I wasn't in that certain place. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So let me conclude with this. God leads us to this certain place both on a personal level and on a corporate level. So it's not just a personal experience that I'm talking about. Of course it's not. But on a personal level, God does bring us to this certain place. Just like Jacob, he was all by himself in that certain place. But there's another corporate aspect to it. Because as we read Genesis chapter 28, we realize that this certain place was made very clear. It was the place of God's presence. It was the place of his house. It was a place where angels were ascending and descending. So I want to encourage you that every time we come to the house of the Lord, God wants to take us to this certain place. It's a place of revelation and it's a place of encounter. And I hope that we come here this morning with a sense of, I've come to this place. It's a physical place. This is Lone Reagan Lecture Theatre at Murdoch University in Murdoch, in Perth City, in Western Australia, in the nation of Australia. All right? It's a physical place. I recognize that. And God uses that. But in the physical place, there's something beyond just the physical place. And that's the certain place. And that's the place of revelation. That's the place of his presence. That's the place where God says, when two or three, when my church comes together, there I am in the midst of them. He's right here in our midst this morning. So when we come to church, we are coming to the certain place. And if we will allow God to work in us, many times we struggle with that because of our own struggles. But when we learn to allow Holy Spirit, have your way, just as some of the songs we were singing today, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I need to come to a place. You see, Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, then we are told that he was struggling with a man and he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. And what did God had to do? Dislocate his hip. Right? He said, I will not let you go until the breakthrough, until I receive a blessing. But God had to dislocate him. God had to kind of break him, didn't he? And so in that place here, as we come before the Lord, As we keep struggling, God's going to, whoosh, and then we're going to start walking like this, right? But when we start walking like this, that's where the healing takes place, right? So why don't you verbalize me with me, point number three, and why don't we rise to our feet? I want to do this together, and we just declare these points together. So when you're going somewhere, when you're going for a holiday, or when you're going, or you're going for a new chapter of your life, or if you're moving somewhere, if you're whatever it is, when you have plans for whatever you're doing for your life, for your family, when you've got everything worked out, remember that God's heart, God's mind is to lead us to that certain place. And I feel right now, and I'm sharing this because I do believe that, you know, there's something that God is doing in this church and all around the world, I believe, but to take us back to that place, that certain place. There's something about maturity this year that we're talking about. We've talked about so much about maturity and increased fruitfulness. And there's something about God taking us to the certain place, a place of maturity, so that we can have increased fruitfulness. But why don't you verbalize this with me? This certain place is a place of His house. Number one, it's a place of rest. Number two, it's a place of revelation. Number three, it's a place of promise. Number four, it's a place of communion. And number five, it's a place of encounter. Number six, it's a place of His presence. Number seven, it's a place of open heavens. Eight, it's a place of His house. Number nine, it's a place of worship. And number 10, it's a place of giving, tithing, or tithing here. In this case, He gave a tenth to the Lord, but it's a place where He gave. So I want you to just take this moment as we conclude this in prayer, but I want you to just take this to the Lord right now. Do you feel like you're like Jacob? Are you running away from something? Or maybe we think we've got everything worked out. We're busy doing our own thing. We're busy thinking we are always right. Or even consider, why have we come here today? Are we coming here for just to get some people to talk to, perhaps, maybe to feel accepted? Maybe we've come here to look for approval. Maybe we're here to have an opportunity to serve, have an opportunity to meet people, have a good time. And none of these things are, well, some of these things are not wrong. But know that in all of what we aspire to do and whatever our intentions are, God's heart is to bring us to the certain place. So I want to give God room and give God space this morning so we can encounter Him and cause Him to take us to a place of revelation to see Him. So we will meet Him in a certain place.